You know, there are times in the history of America where people have had to stand up and take a position that has been unpopular. And in the past, many times those positions were taken on issues that made sense to be divided upon. But today we are living in a chaotic world where the wheels have come off and the world in which we live has changed dramatically. And you and I live in a day where we do not have as much of an acquaintance with our Bibles, perhaps, as we should. And it therefore becomes unsettling, unnerving, frightening indeed, when the world begins to go dark and you and I have clarity. Sometimes we begin to doubt our positions because we're like, well, I know this is true, but I'm not sure where it says that. And so why I've given you this paper today is so that you will know where some of the things are said that are going to become part of the public debate that has basically been lost by the right. The Bible does say, woe unto those that call good evil and evil good. And I was really struggling with what to put on the sign out front, so I let it stand. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Can't say it any better than that. And so what we're looking at today is the judgment of the Lord. Now, there are indicators of the judgment of the Lord, and that's what I've put before you, indicators that America is under judgment. Now, we've often thought that. We've seen the various weather patterns. We've seen the traumas. We've seen the hedge come down at 9/11. But nothing has been so completely revolutionary as what has happened in this past week. And it is incumbent upon preachers everywhere to cry out and say something about this. But I am keenly aware that if you were to go to any given church in America, you would only find a smattering of churches where this will be addressed. And the reason for that is because we have given way to a market-driven mentality. We don't want to offend anybody. We don't want anybody to leave because that's too political. Do you know that there is this insidious motto that people have been quoting? Never discuss politics or religion, which are the most important things in a civilized society. The reason people don't want to talk about politics and religion is because there's such a divide. But do you know truth is the great divider? Did you know that? The Bible says that the ungodly will not stand in the day of judgment because they will be like the chaff that the wind drives away. So when the truth is preached, it is like the wind blowing upon the grain and upon the chaff, and the grain will remain. And the reason the Lord sometimes has to allow us to go through the times that we are going through right now is because sometimes we've allowed ourselves to just let things go because we're so caught up in our own drama. Well, our drama now has become part and parcel of the fabric of what's going on out there. Well, I don't have any cute little anecdotes this morning to start us, so let's just dive in because I think it's time for serious consideration. The first indicator that the judgment of God is falling upon a people, the first and most prominent one, is reprobation. Now, most people don't even use that word anymore, but the word has the idea of having gotten to the place where we are beyond feeling anything, where we are beyond having a conscience, where a people has gotten to the place where their consciences have been seared as with a hot iron and nothing troubles them any longer. I would reference for you Romans chapter 1. And it is in your notes. You can use your notes and make marks on there and maybe transfer them to your Bibles later. But I want you to see that God's Word says, we know that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of sinful men. That's verse 18, which is not in your notes. Verse 19 says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. And what it says is the wrath of God has been revealed. We know a people are under the indictment, under the judgment of God when His wrath is revealed. Now, when we think of wrath, we think of thunderbolts, we think of lightning, we think of earthquakes, we think of havoc, we think of people dying the death. But when the Bible goes on to explain what the wrath of God really looks like, it doesn't look like that. What it looks like is verse 21. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. So out of the gate, we see two things that happen in a society that is under the judgment of God. The first thing that happens is in verse 21, they become vain in their imaginations and their hearts are darkened. Now what that means is what I a moment ago mentioned is there is a darkening of the conscience. There is a deadening of the conscience. If you look at the bottom of this passage, I put there the little writing on your notes, the word insensitivity. You see, today what is happening is we're living in a society where there's an insensitivity to evil and sin. Very little in our day today is looked upon, frowned upon, or called wrong. About the last thing to fall will be pedophilia. We all look at that and say that's an odious, terrible thing. But what we are unwilling to recognize as a society is that those who perpetrate such behavior are those that just got green light on all kinds of insidious and wicked behaviors. The vast majority of those kind of behaviors takes place from the group that has now become very, very fashionable. Perversion begets perversion. Is that popular to say today? Because we need to know what the judgment of God looks like. The first thing it looks like is there's an insensitivity. What men do is they know about God, they understand He exists, but what they do is they become vain in their imaginations. And this is why sometimes people will go to their Bibles and say, see, it's okay to be homosexual. Look, the Bible teaches this, this, and this. They have no foundation. They twist Scriptures. The Bible says they wrestle the Scriptures to their own destruction. That's what they're doing. They become vain in their imaginations. Their hearts are darkened. They don't even feel anything anymore. They feel justified in saying this is a right thing to do. This is the right thing to do. Where have you heard that before? It's the right thing to do. No, it's not the right thing to do. It is the absolute wrong thing to do. Amen. We are all in this together as a society. And when we begin to lay down and not to speak up about the truth, it just continues to fester. Not only that, but verse 23 says they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. So the first thing that happens is there's insensitivity. The second thing that happens is there is idolatry. Men begin to worship something other than God. If you want to write on the side of your notes there, you can write 2 Corinthians 11 verse 4. Paul says of the Corinthians, he says, I'm afraid of you. If somebody brings to you another Jesus, that you will receive him. Okay, so there's a lot of Jesuses out there. You know, Glenn Beck has a Jesus. He's a Mormon Jesus. And their view is this, in a nutshell, they say, as God is, we one day will be. As we are, God once was. There are many Jesuses. The devil has not been sitting on his talons for all these centuries since Jesus was here. He's been flooding the market with Jesuses, and it's important to remember what the Lord Jesus told us in His Word. He says, straight is the gate that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Strive ye therefore to enter in at the straight gate, for straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life. Why is it so narrow? Well, because There's so many of them. You got to kind of squeeze your way through to get to the right one. And there's a whole lot of churches in our world today. It is funny how it is, isn't it? It's like coffee. You can have light roast, medium roast, or dark roast. Amen. Bring it, right? I got to just say, Mark, since you spoke up, you're an illustration as of right now. I noticed that when we got our Keurig coffee maker back there, Mark preferred breakfast in bed. So, brother, I got your number. Amen. Breakfast in bed was the roast I think he went for. But you know, in church, you can't afford to go for the light or the medium. You need the dark roast. You need the strong Word of God. Better is a hard truth than a soft lie any day. We need the truth because the truth is being lost, it's being watered down, it's being exchanged, and people are therefore becoming desensitized to what is right. They're corrupting the truth and becoming idolatrous, so they're insensitive, and then they are idolatrous. They change the likeness of the invisible God into the likeness of man, of fish, of four-footed beasts. You say, well, that was old school. People aren't idolaters anymore. Oh, but they are, beloved. Oh, but they are. You see, man today has coined the idea that people created God. That's their view. They say, we're evolutionists. We came from monkeys. I say, well, you can have that. Because the reality is the Bible has set over against the evolutionary idea that either God created man or man created God. The evolutionists believe man created God. But we understand that God directly created man. He was perfect. He was sinless. He was complete. He was in God's image, in innocence and in blessing. But when He took deliberately of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he fell. And he therefore brought sin into the world. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, because all have sinned. So the Bible declares without apology that man was created, he fell, and now we're getting worse and worse. And that death now is in the world because men sin. Now, God could have thrown up His hands and said, I'm done with this thing. Man has gone from me. Let him go. But He didn't. He allowed man an alternative. He slew an animal. He covered their nakedness, put them away from the tree of life, lest they eat of it and live forever in their sin. And then He allowed them to come to Him through the bloody sacrifice that Abel gave that found respect. And that bloody sacrifice was set over against, again, another alternative. Good works, man's efforts versus a bloody sacrifice. Abel brought a bloody sacrifice and Cain brought his fruits and vegetables, the works of his hands. And God had respect to Abel. Why? Because Abel got it. I had God's righteous frown on my life. But Jesus bore the dreadful curse for my soul. And every bloody sacrifice that was given in the Old Testament was just foreshadowing and emblematic of that which Jesus Himself would one day bring in fulfillment. That's why John said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And now He commands all men everywhere to repent. He died not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. You see, beloved, God made it such that we would grope after Him in the darkness of the old. And then He brought forth His Son, Jesus, in the fullness of time, that we might be able to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus. You want to know what God looks like? He looks like Jesus. Because Jesus is the visible manifestation of the invisible God. And for you and me, the very fact that God loved us so much, He gave His Son, is an awesome truth. We grab hold of, we cling to the cross, because there we see the love of God manifested toward you and toward me. There we cling hold of the cross because there we see the holiness of God, that frown of God, satisfied in that He allowed Jesus to bear our sins in His body on the tree. It's an awesome truth. But you need to understand that our world has lost its way to the point where they think there is no sin. They think man created God. Man did not create God. God created man. But if they're right, they're doing exactly what we would expect them to do. If man created God, then why not do whatever? And frankly, if man created God, no one can say what Hitler did was wrong. Because he's just a byproduct of his DNA. There's no rhyme nor reason. There's no right nor wrong. And who's to say chasing little children in the playgrounds to kidnap and put into slave trade? And yes, it's there. Beloved, one of the biggest hubs was up in Toledo, we found out in recent days. You and I live in a day that is perilous. But let me not go too far into that. We see that they changed the likeness of the invisible God into the image, verse 23, of man, birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. So God created man, and then man turned around and said, no, we're going to create God. So they changed him, they created an image, but the true God, nevertheless, is firmly established in history, time, and for all eternity. Verse 24 says, wherefore God also gave them up. Now you might circle the word wherefore, because this is God entering in. And understand this, for those who are of a Calvinistic persuasion, I just want you to know, man chose to exchange God and to turn his image into something else. Man chose. And then God gave up. The Bible says he commands all men to repent. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. Now, the reality is that people are all drawn to Jesus. They all have a knowledge of who he is, but they can either reject him or receive him, and that's on them. And no one will stand in that day and say, I had no choice, you made me go to hell. No, you choose. You choose Jesus or you reject Jesus. If you go away from God on purpose, you will be forever damned. And that's what's happening in our society. We're under judgment. Look what happens next. We've seen insensitivity. We've seen idolatry. But then we see, verse 24, God gave them up unto uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, because that's what motivated all of their dismissal of God in the first place. It was the lusts of their own heart to dishonor their bodies between themselves. Now we've got immorality. Insensitivity, idolatry, immorality. The Bible says in verse 25, they changed the truth of God into a lie. Look at this. And worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. Do you realize that when you put your own desires and wants before everything else, you're worshipping the creature. That's yourself. You are a creature of God. We said that in our country at the outset. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Right? We hold these truths to be self-evident. That we have been endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. You see, we've understood He was the Creator. We knew it out of the gate in our country. It's in our Constitution. But if you throw that out, then all of this, well, then it's all negotiable. So if you set aside the Creator business and you say that we all therefore have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, you cannot define life. You cannot define liberty. Do you know what people think liberty is today? They think liberty is the freedom to do whatever you want. That is not a biblical definition. You see, liberty in the biblical definition is the right to do right. You see, when people change the definitions, as our society is prone to do today, as in marriage being redefined, you can't do that. It's a man and a woman. It is not a man and a man. It is not a woman and a woman. It's a man and a woman. God says, out of the gate, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to the wife of his youth. God made them male and female. There's a complementarianism there. There's a perpetuation of the race set therein. And it's so stupid for me to have to say out loud, it's a man and a woman. What am I saying?
Amen.
Fire is hot. Okay, it is. The grass is green. This is what it's come to. And I'm sorry about my passion, but I've been stewing like you have all week. We're in a day, beloved. Immorality gives way then to what? What else is there? I was asking myself, what are they going to do now? What can they do next? It's all done now. It's all over. Why? Because we're under the judgment of God. He allowed us to get our Supreme Court justices. Five people made a decision for you and your family. You're going to see boys holding hands walking down the side of the road now. Your kids are going to see that. Your grandkids. You're going to see on your TV programs kissing men and kissing women. That's what you're going to see. Why? Because it's legal. It's to be celebrated. And if you don't get in line, it's going to be a problem for you. You're going to see businesses being put out of business. What did I say? Immorality. What's the next thing? Well, the Bible says in verse 26, for this cause God gave them up. Verse 24, God gave them up. Verse 26, God gave them up. It says, God gave them up to vile affections, for even the women did exchange the natural use into that which is against nature. Now notice it mentions women first. Because then it says, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts toward one another, men with men working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet or fitting or proper. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. Same exact word as gave them up earlier, so you can circle it. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Insensitivity, idolatry, immorality, then indecency. That's the sign of the wrath of God. It's on our society today. And what we have today is because we have a proliferation of filth on the internet and we have a proliferation of information through our media, we are desensitized to the insidiousness and, listen, the seriousness of our condition. Our country is under the judgment of God. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. You see, we understand this because the Scriptures tell us this is what you can look at. Do you want an indicator of it? Do you want to know why the pastor feels like the judgment of God's on America? There's my verses. This is the Scripture. Thus saith the Lord, right? This is true. And you and I have to be mindful. Insensitivity does not stay dormant. It leads to idolatry. We change Christ into some image we like Him to be so that we can do what we want to do. And we'll treat Him like the golden calf of the Israelites. We can throw Him a bale of hay and we can go on frolicking in the mud puddles of life. Because we have changed Jehovah into a golden calf, just like they did in the Old Testament. We're changing Jesus into this mamby-pamby, non-offending, Santa Claus kind of a being. No, He's the one who came to die for our sins. It must have been pretty serious. Do you know if somebody came to you and you have children and your children were in dire straits, they needed a kidney? Most parents would say, take mine. And we'd do it without hesitating. It must be pretty serious if you're going to lay down and let somebody take your kidney. Jesus said, take my life. And He was the best the world ever knew. Walked on water, healed the sick, raised the dead. Gave sight to the blind. Listen, raised Himself from the dead. Split time, 2015, Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. And yet the perpetuation of the lie is so pervasive that people don't even know who Jesus was anymore. It was in California prior to the decision. They started a high school program to teach young people about same-sex relationships as a normal and natural thing. Bruce Jenner went from the Wheaties box to the Vanity Fair. This is the generation I've lived in because I remember the Wheaties box. I remember that, and I've seen every step of the deterioration, and today we have what we have. So I suggest to you, reprobation is one indicator. It's everywhere, it's happening, and it means that you and I, as God's children, will be exiled from the open public discussion of what's right and wrong. Do you know what has to happen right now to make any of this kind of have some brakes put on it? Is a constitutional amendment. That's the only thing. You want to know what's interesting about my statement? As I was saying that earlier in the week, and I wasn't quite sure I was on the right footing, I'm thinking, is that right? I mean, the Supremes can do what they want to do, but the legislators make law. So they can make an amendment, and you want to know only one politician has said that out loud. All of them should be saying it out loud. Amen. They all ought to be panicking and freaking out because this is bad because their children are going to be subject to the perversity of the day. The schools will have to teach it. You'll send them to the school and the school will have to teach this. Secondly, an indicator would be culmination. We see in the Bible that the Bible is very clear prophetically. Do you know one in every four verses in the Bible is prophetic in nature? When it was written to tell us what was going to happen so we'd know we could trust this book and pinpoint accuracy on all things fulfilled thus far. And we're looking forward to pinpoint accuracy on the things that are yet to be fulfilled. You know what? I just want to say this because it's encouraging. Jesus is coming soon. And I'm ready for the upper taker. Amen. Let's get out of this mess because it's getting pretty dark down here. Bible says that he who will come shall come and he will not tarry. The Bible says that in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall be caught up with the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then shall come such a time upon the earth as never has been before and never shall be again. When the wrath of the Lamb falls upon this earth and those who are left upon the earth will cry to the rocks and hills and say, fall on us, for the day of his wrath has come. Beloved, you want to take a moment in the clarity today? Jesus is coming. I know people have been saying it. I'm not setting a date. I'm just looking at the signs. You know, the Bible says when the fig tree brings forth the figs, you know that the spring has sprung. You know, things are springing right now. Because the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 and following, it's in your notes, about culmination. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous. And it's not talking about people with guns and knives. It's just talking about the nasty of the people around us. It says this, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. How is that perilous? It's perilous because men, being the culminated collective of societies, will love themselves more than God. They're going to be lovers of themselves. They're going to be covetous. That means they're going to say, give me what I want. I don't care what it costs anybody. Give me what I want. They're going to be boasters. They're going to be proud. They're going to be blasphemers. The OMG is everywhere. People don't even think twice about saying that. Oh my, you know what, in a derogatory. That's blasphemy. That's the third commandment. And the Bible says, he that taketh my name in vain, I will not hold guiltless. And we just keep ramping it up and ramping it up and acting like it doesn't matter. Why? Because insensitivity. Bible says they're going to be blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Why would that be in there? You remember the whole thing, right? Years ago, they would talk about, they said, they kind of did a little study about the worst infractions in the high schools. In recent days, it was guns and it was gang-related violence and drugs being sold on school grounds. Go back to the 50s. What was it? Running in the halls, chewing gum. How far have we come? We've come pretty far. Why disobedient to parents? Because that's where it begins. Do you know we live in a youth-crazed society? All of the older people want to look young. All want to be young. We've forgotten that God has given the hoary head as a crown of glory to those that be found in the way of righteousness. We've forgotten that we can go to our elders who know Jesus and know God and say, what is going on? And they'll tell you, the world is coming apart. You need to grab your Bible and you need to hold on tight. That's what the godly will tell you. You go to your friends like Solomon's son Rehoboam. He went to the elders. The elders said, you need to lighten up and be nicer to your people as you govern them and they will serve you forever. He didn't like that answer. He asked his friends. He says, no, tighten your grip and be mean and get out of them every ounce of energy you can and use them for your own devices. And Rehoboam chose the friends and split the kingdom right down the middle. Northern and southern kingdoms. Beloved, nothing here is new. What's going on in our Congress is there is no outcry. There is no outcry in our Congress. They ought to be talking all day long and nobody going home. This ought to be wept over. There ought to be a moment of mourning in this country because what has happened is our children and grandchildren have no future. When I said a moment ago, what's next? The only thing left is this. The economy will fall. Because we are under the judgment of God. God will not sustain a country that continues to thumb its nose, kills 1.5 million babies every year since 1973, again by edict from an oligarchy called the Supreme Court. We've kicked and spit and carried on and pitched fits, and nothing has made a difference in that. And the likelihood of us getting this thing overturned is very unlikely indeed. You say, why are we talking politics? We're not. I'm not afraid of this horizontal level. I'm afraid of God here. God is angry with the sinner every day. He's the one that's brought the whole mess upon us that we are now in the midst of. And it's because we've asked for it. Because we've been disobedient to parents. We've been unthankful, verse 2, unholy, without natural affections, which is a tipping of the hat to homosexuality. Not only homosexuality, but without natural affections also takes into account abortion, which has been a wound in the heart of many women who did not know what they were being told to do, and yet they were exploited, walked away from such, and then felt the wounds later, and thus have had to carterize their hearts, pick up the baton and march in the crowd saying, I'm for abortion, when in reality, those wounds, those pains can be forgiven, but nobody's telling them they can be forgiven. Do you know many of the people who got saved in the Old Testament as they came into the New Testament, they knew what it was to offer children into sacrifice. That's what they did. And what we're doing today is we're offering children on the sacrificial altar of choice. Well, the Bible says without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That literally means to have no self-control. You know what's a good thing when you don't have self-control in some area of your life? Fast for a couple days. Just don't eat anything. Anything. Don't eat or drink. Get yourself in a position where you realize this body is not you. Okay? You're in there, but it's not you. You don't have this body forever. You're going to lay it down one day, and a good clarifying mind thing to do is to take a few days and just not eat. If you have problems with self-control. The Bible says one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. They're going to be fierce. You see that? You know, when people are being told don't behave in a certain way, they become fierce. They give death threats. Christians do not give death threats to people who do not agree with what the Bible says. We pray for those. We love them. We love our enemies. We love our neighbors. We do as Jesus did. You know what Jesus did? He absorbed the consequence of their sin. So we're not revolutionaries. We're missionaries. We're trying to tell people Jesus saves. The bridge is out. There's only one way through. It's Christ. Without Him, you're in deep, deep trouble. That's all we're trying to say. But the Bible says that they're going to be fierce. You want to know how fierce they are? The whole world heard about our country's humiliation this past week. And you know what ISIS did? They gathered up a number of homosexuals, took them up on a 5-story building and just threw them off. They say, this is what we think. Threw them off. And you know those same people who are saying, we need homosexual rights? You know what they're saying also? We need to acknowledge that Islam is a peaceful religion. Do you know of the 1 billion plus Muslims in this world? 1 billion plus, they've overtaken the Catholic Church as the largest religious group. Do you know of the 1 billion plus Muslims in the world, 300 million of them are militant, terroristic, ISIS-type Muslims. Does that number ring a bell? That's the population of the United States of America. They can answer us man for man right now. And the same people who are giving us gay marriage are trying to give us open borders and letting in those who would what? Take the head off our shoulders. The people who are being beheaded overseas, and maybe this is why people don't mind it, are Christians. That was the first time they actually lined up a bunch of homosexuals and threw them off. Christians don't do that. Christians try to win them to Jesus. Because everyone has sin. You have sin and I have sin. Your sin may be different than my sin. But I needed saving just like they need saving. And they're doing what comes naturally. Paul himself said, if Christ be not risen, we are of all men most miserable. Therefore, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. If there is no resurrection, just party on. Party on. Do whatever feels right and feels good, because there is no hope. But because Jesus conquered the grave, you and I know that there's something better just over yonder. And because that's true, we have a hope that transcends all of the nonsense and static down here. You know what the scariest part of this is? In verse 4, it says, they're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, and they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. What? They have a form of godliness? Yeah, because many of the churches are now embracing homosexual marriage. You have people like Joel Osteen and people who are just all health and wealth, and if you'll send me money, I won't say anything bad about you. Oh, beloved, we're living in an insidious day. The Bible says He sends them false prophets in the Old Testament. He'll send them false teachers in the New Testament era. And the Bible says they're going to make merchandise of you. And that's what's happening in our world. The Bible says that they're going to be of the sort that leads silly women captive, laden with sins, verse 6, led away with diverse lusts. You see the pattern? Lovers of pleasures, lovers of their own selves, incontinent, without natural affections, diverse lusts, insensitivity, immorality, indecency. Look at verse 11 of Proverbs 30. There is a generation that curseth their father, doth not bless their mother. If there have ever been a generation, it's ours. Why? Because we worship youth. Old people are in the way. We now build buildings to put them in so that we don't have to deal with our elders. We now have granny dumping, where people will strip their parents or grandparents from all of their identification and dump them in some emergency room because they don't want to deal with them. Now euthanasia is certain to be here soon because now the government has control of health care. They can take those who are the weaker among us and kill them. There's a generation that curses their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their eyes, and yet they are not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and yet their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Do you know who gave us this president primarily that we have right now? It was the young adults. Because he was cool. He spoke cool. He was suave. He could text. He knew what to do with social media. And they had no biblical moorings. They just thought that was cool. And then everybody's like, woohoo, let's do this. We can fundamentally transform America. Well, we have. It's transformed. It's a different place. It is not a moral place. Although the church is still here, you have to look closely to distinguish who is part of the church and who is not. Resignation. Well, this is where I really wanted to get to. I'm not going to wear you out. You have the verses. The bigger part of my verses here are on the resignation. Why? Well, because it's written twice in Jeremiah. The verse I want to drive your attention down to is in chapter 6 of Jeremiah and verse 15. It says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Do you see that? Look at chapter 8 and verse 12. It says, were they at all ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. In both occasions, when they did the evil and the abominable, they did not have any shame anymore. They weren't ashamed. Do you ever look at the pictures of gay pride events? They're in the news. They're on your YouTube. These people are acting out in unspeakable ways in the street. And our White House this past week was lit up with rainbow lights. The Muslims said that there would be an Islamic flag flying over the White House before it was all said and done. Is that possible? Ramadan's coming. Why not? The Bible says in verse 14 of chapter 6, under resignation, it says, they've healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Chapter 8 and verse 11, they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. By the way, when I said economy a minute ago, did you know? The ATMs are empty in Greece. The loans are being called in, and their economy is on the verge of collapse. And the only thing the European market wants to say about that is, we just don't want to be infected by that. The dominoes are beginning to fall. America became a leader in decadence in the world, do you think God has noticed? I think God has noticed. Well, the Bible tells us that everyone, verse 10 of chapter 8 in Jeremiah, is given to covetousness. The Bible says in chapter 6, in verse 13 of Jeremiah, everyone is given to covetousness. Now, the word covetousness literally means to cut, as a weaver would cut off fabric. And it means that I'm going to cut it off right here. I don't care who I hurt. I don't care how it affects my children or my children's children. I saw an actor who's coming out in an unspeakable show, and I'm going to mention it just because some of you've heard of it. It's called Magic Mike 2. His little baby was on the set of this pornographic movie that's being applauded. He had his child in these places of iniquity the entire time. When asked, does it bother you that your daughter was there? He said, well, you know, when they get to be my age, they're going to have everything in holographic form. There's no way that they're not going to see it, so whatever. It's no big deal. Because they don't care. Covetousness says, I want what I want, and I don't care who it hurts. That is what covetousness is. When I see little children playing in a neighborhood where their parents never take them to church, never tell them about Jesus, never tell them about a holy God with 10 commandments, which He will judge us all by, and Jesus satisfied in our behalf, when they don't ever tell them, all they're doing is raising their children for the slaughter. You say, well, that's intense. Yeah, it is. Life is intense. This is not a party. This is a tragedy down here. It's a tragedy because man fell. But it's a victory and a love story because God cares. Jesus saves. We can be freed from sin and we can be given quickening of the Holy Spirit to go out and do some good, be a blessing to people. You know, there's no reason to care for the poor, the infirm, the sick if we don't know there's a God and we're created in the image of God. They're just garbage to be thrown away. But it is those of us who know that God created the heavens and the earth, and He created man, and He put us in the earth to be able to have dominion. We lost dominion. The devil is afoot. The angels and the demons are at war. You and I are fighting with all that in us is just to hold our own ground. Because the insanity of this world can catch us up as well. The Bible says in chapter 6 of Jeremiah, verse 9, the wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in them? Even your wise men have no wisdom. He says, therefore, I will give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that inherit them. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying, I'm going to take this generation out of the way, and I'm going to give their fields to their kids. Well, that's in the rear view for us because you and I have all the good stuff and we didn't have to work for it like they did back in years past as much. I'm sure there's exception. I don't want to be too blanket on that. But for the most part, we've had it pretty easy. I remember getting my first car. Didn't have any air conditioning, but I didn't care. Gas was only like 70-some cents. I could fill that baby up for $7-8, filled the car up, and I could go real fast. I didn't need air conditioning because I put the windows down. I could put the windows down. That's all. I could do that. You remember, don't you? Screen doors slamming. We don't have that anymore. We have air conditioning in the house. We have clickers and we have TVs. And then he says this, for they've healed the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace. Do you remember that? In the New Testament, the Bible says when they say peace and safety, then comes sudden destruction. Did you know that? Do you know everybody's celebrating peace? We finally got peace. We finally got control. The Bible says when they say peace, peace, then there's sudden destruction. I want to drive your attention back up here a little bit to a verse that's very important. Verse 16 of chapter 6. It says, thus says the Lord, and this is what you and I are supposed to do. Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. Look at this. But they said, we will not walk therein. Now, what is our answer to the times we live in? We're supposed to stand fast. We're supposed to ask for the old ways. We're supposed to walk in the old ways. Is that hard? Yeah, it's hard. Don't we need to have a band? Don't we need to have a program? No, we need the Word of God. It's not about entertainment. We're entertained till we're sick of entertainment. It's like eating on Thanksgiving. Man, I can't eat no more, but give me a piece of pie. We're so miserable, but I just can't resist that pie. That's our world today. We don't need more entertainment. We need more Jesus. We need more Bible. We need more clarity. Because there's only one place that we're going to find rest, and it's in those old paths. In verse 16 it says, "And you shall find rest." That word is an interesting word. It is the only place in the whole Bible that particular word shows up. And in the Hebrew, it does mean a resting place, but it also means to literally turn quickly. In other words, you will not only find a resting place, but you will be given what you need to know how to react and respond when you need to. You won't have that if you're not close to the shepherd. You may panic. Finally, consolation. Let me wrap this up. This is what he tells us in Isaiah 8:16. "Bind up the testimony and seal the law among my disciples." What he's saying is he's saying, turn the lights off on everybody except my disciples. Do you know what that means? That means there's a whole lot of people going to go real dark right now. He says, "Bind up the testimony and seal the law among my disciples." And then he says, "And I will wait upon the Lord." That is what our job is to do. He says, "The Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob." You know, God's turning his face away. When I said there were indicators of judgment, I want you to know this is one of them. It's consolation. Because he does give us consolation. He's going to bind up and seal the law, but it's going to be here for you and me to see through. He says, "I'm going to wait for the Lord. I'm going to look for the Lord." He says, "Behold, I and the children that God has given me are for signs and for wonders." So that means that you and your family need to build a hedge around each other. Love one another. Grab one another and hold each other and remind each other. God created the male and female. And that this indecency is all part of the judgment that's going on around us. And when those come from far lands and they want to take and destroy and kill and hurt and maim, whether it's because you're drawing a cartoon of Muhammad, or whether because you're in the military and you're a guy at Fort Hood and you want to shoot everybody saying those terrible, fateful words of Islam, and then they pay him after he's in prison for having killed everybody. Whether it's somebody in a Boston Marathon bombing, whether it's 9/11, this world in which you and I live is under judgment. But the truth and the testimony and the yes and the amen is still in the Word of God. And we can wait for Him. We can look for Him. We know that Jesus is on His way back. Look at this. It says, "Behold," he says in verse 19, he says, "And when they say unto you, seek unto them that have a familiar spirit, unto wizards that peep and unto them that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? Should we seek for the living unto the dead?" Do you know, seances work. They work because demons answer. Ouija boards conjure demons posing as relatives. We live in a day where people don't understand that. They really are led away into nonsense. Movies about the apocalypse. Movies about zombies. Movies about the end of days. A couple teenagers shooting Jesus with a cannon out of the sky. Rapture Palooza, I think that movie was called. Nothing sacred. Mock Christians, kill Christians on the other side of the earth, and eventually it'll come to a town near you and me. When they say seek all that, he says this is what needs to be said. Verse 20, "To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." Did you notice how we began? Darkening. Do you see how we're ending? No light in them. You're going to have a hard time finding light. Because you're going to be caught up in the darkness. Why? Because you and I are just as prone as anybody else to be lovers of our own selves. But no, Jesus left us here with a mandate. The mandate is to tell others about Him. About forgiveness. About His love. About His mercy. About His long-suffering. About His concern. The Bible says, I told you not to keep company with fornicators and idolaters and covetous and all kinds of nasty things. He says, but I didn't tell you not to keep company with those people that are like that in the world. He says, for you would have need to go out of the world. No, he says, just break fellowship with those who are saying all these things are okay, but they're in church. But those that are in the world, you need to fellowship with, you need to talk to, you need to engage, you need to love for Jesus. Do you know what's sad today? The continuum is so blurred. There is licentiousness on one side and legalism on the other. To find the true is hard. Religion is complicated because there's been a whole lot of time the devil's been stirring and muddying up the water. But for you and me today, I just want you to know what happened in our country this week is huge. It's bigger than 9/11. It's bigger than 9/11. 9/11 was a wake-up call, and for 2 weeks people populated the church. Very few people came out today in churches across America because this decision was made, because they don't even sense that anything's wrong. Oh, they might have grieved it for a moment and said, tisk, tisk, but then said, what's on the ball game tonight? What's the movie playing over at the theater? There's a two-hour sermon going on over there. I think I'll go listen to them. You see, every movie has a hook, don't they? Every show. And every time you see some pathetic, pitiful-looking person who's being oppressed, portrayed in a TV show, and then you're asked to accept their behavior rather than their discipline, you're being asked to really give up values and principles. We need to not do that. We need to say with Joshua, choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I can't make you or anybody else serve the Lord. But I can warn you that if you don't serve the Lord Jesus, eternity is going to be very hot, very miserable. Darkness, pain, gnashing of teeth, everlasting punishment. You say, why? Well, because as I said a moment ago, when a society goes out of control, they don't realize they're not just doing something to themselves. They're saying to everyone else around them, believe what we're saying. And they say that to their children too. We don't believe in Jesus. We believe religious people are haters. We believe God is not real. We believe God would never judge anybody. That's their doctrine. And that's huge to God because He says it'd be better for anyone who offends the little ones who would believe in Me that a millstone be hung about their neck and they be cast into the lake. And the reason people will not be judged fully until the end at the great white throne is because their sin is a billiard ball effect. One sin hits another person who hits another person who hits another person. And God cares about every person we hit by our sin. So we have to recognize when Jesus died on that cross, that was huge. He bore our sins and the consequences and impact of our sins in His body on the tree. And now because He lives, we will live also if we'll trust Him. Would you bow with me for a moment?